Aloha, everyone. This is Ashley from GoldenGoddesses.org, and this is the Thursday, August 23rd episode of Threshold to Ascension Radio. In full transparency, we're actually recording this on Tuesday because I'll be traveling on Thursday, and because of that, we won't announce the winner of last week's drawing, the amazing book by Susie Hansen, Dual Soul Connection, until next week's show, August 30th, because we did say that the drawing would close tomorrow night. Well, tomorrow night as we record this. But as we all know, in the higher dimensions, time doesn't matter. So just a couple other announcements before I introduce our guest. Next week on the August 30th show, I'm really pleased to announce that I'll be having a conversation with some dear friends of mine, Costa Macrias from ET Let's Talk, and his beautiful partner, Hollis Polk, who is a beautiful clairvoyant and contactee in her own right. This spring, I had the opportunity to spend 5 days with Costa and Hollis and Soul Family that I just got to know during that time in Mount Shasta when we experienced beautiful contact both in our hearts and in the sky with our galactic brothers and sisters. So do tune in next week to hear more on this theme of ascension and star family connection with my guest Costa and Hollis Polk. We are also continuing on Wednesday nights our Lucid Dreaming teleconference series and supporting Star Nation contact through our dreams. And you can find information on all of that of the website, goldengoddess.org, goldengoddesses.org. So let's get to tonight's show. My guest tonight is the beautiful Naomi Cook, who has such an amazing, diversified experience, life experience. I think she kind of puts at the top of her list that she's the mom of two. And I say mom because she's from the UK and she lives in Australia with her two kids and her Egyptian husband. And we were chatting about how I had spent 15 years in Australia. She is the founder of Project Starseed, which will be the main thrust of our conversation tonight. She's a registered nurse, an energy healer, does amazing distance healing, a Reiki, and a Theta Intuitive. We're going to talk about her other aspects as an author. Her book, How She Healed Me, was really the story of her journey to her spiritual transformation after her daughter Hannah's traumatic experience with a brain tumor. We're going to go into that as Naomi talks about how her journey started. She's a philosophy graduate. She just took up permaculture. She's a blogger. She's a beautiful author of children's books as well. I love the name, The Little Bush Nurse. So without further delay, I would like to welcome Naomi Cook to the show. Aloha, Naomi.
Hello.
It's so good to have you on the show. And I'm so excited about how your path has opened up, your website, Project Starseed, and how you and I have a lot in common of our understanding of what ascension truly is. Before we dive deep into that, would you mind taking us through just a little bit of that spiritual awakening path, what you went through when you found out your daughter Hannah was sick, and how that really opened you up into your spiritual journey? We're going to talk more about that in the after the show portion, but it is important to lay that foundation.
Yeah, totally. Because, it's just like that was the key. I mean, I was always, I always felt a little bit different anyway as a child growing up and in my teens discovered this painful connection to the stars that I didn't understand. I just felt very weird and like I wasn't a human, but didn't understand it. But I was still asleep. So in spite of having many, in inverted commas, starseed symptoms like off-world yearnings and, you know, aversion to eating meat and some other sort of idiosyncrasies, I was still asleep. And so I did study philosophy as an undergrad, and then I decided to study nursing as a master's degree here in Australia and became, you know, pretty mainstream in my outlook on everything. And So when my daughter Hannah was 5, she was very suddenly diagnosed with this enormous brain tumor. And the surgery to remove it left her with unrelenting rapid weight gain. So she was this teeny tiny 5-year-old girl gaining a kilo a week, which was life-threatening in its own right. We were sort of on a race to save her life from the weight gain once the tumor was out. And because her condition is sort of medically documented as being intractable and untreatable, we were met with resistance here. And I took on the role of, I'm going to save my child. So I became a fighter and I would fight for her. And I won many, many battles along the way. And I kept winning these battles, but they were still battles. And we managed to stall the weight gain through a medical world first surgery that took place in Egypt. There were other medical world firsts, one of which I actually wrote into a medical case report and got published. Mm-hmm. So these were the little battles. And when we it was, I think it was New Year, 2016, I thought, you know what? I went to war and I won. You know, I can now find peace because I've won all my wars and she's going to be fine. I own this. I'm winning. And then she was diagnosed with another tumor. So the tumor had grown back. And everything that I had so carefully built up and fought for began to crumble before my eyes. And something then clicked and I realized I had got it all wrong. I had been fighting her condition for a good reason, obviously, but it was the energy of fighting that had perpetuated more fighting and more battles, including the tumor regrowth. So now there was one particular day when I just had this massive wake-up call, and I realized I had to fall in love with everything. I had to fall in love with the situation. I had to love the conditions that she had. I had to love the tumor. And this was something that just came to me in an instant one afternoon. But when I did that, everything began to turn around. This feeling of peace began to rain down through the house that affected all of us. And it was literally a few weeks later that I had this spiritual Kundalini-style awakening.
And how did that Kundalini experience manifest? What did you actually physically or emotionally feel?
It was really, really exciting. I took Hannah to a crystal workshop for her birthday. We went to learn about crystals because we didn't really know much about them. And I was beginning to feel a little bit attracted to them. I didn't know why. And we were told to put our hands over the crystals to try and sense their energy fields, which to me, I thought sounded a bit woo-woo. But I thought, you know what? I'm just going to do it. And I happened to pick her birthstone. And when I picked her birthstone, I held my hand over it and it was like a button was pressed. My hands suddenly started pouring painful, hot energy, and then they didn't stop. And so this led me to this massive investigation. What the heck, man, is that? What is wrong with my hands? And then I began to tune into my clairvoyance, which I realized I had been seeing auras and things for some time. And this kind of, they call it visual snow in the medical field, but it's the energy, you know, the kind of snow you see. And I realized that I was actually a lot more than a physical human being.
And how did the nurse you that was taught through the normal system of medical education, was it an easy union of that with what was opening up for you from understanding the energetic healing?
Yes, it was, because I was ready. The thing, because I had been through this journey to hell and really began to change. And I had embraced the negativity because I had seen the impact it had made upon my own sense of self. And so I think everything had been lined up perfectly. So when this energetic awakening was sort of thrust upon me in such a dramatic fashion, I mean, there were moments when I was quite freaked out, but I still nevertheless embraced it.
And how did Hannah respond to that and your younger daughter, Marianne, and how did your husband respond to this blossoming within you that perhaps may have been outside of the picture of who you were to them prior to this?
Absolutely. My kids just literally hand in hand. They walked every step with me. Within a few days, they were experiencing hand chakra openings too. And also the blockage in the ears, you know, you get that pressure barometric change in the ears. I don't even know what that is, but everyone seems to get it. They were getting that. And then my dear husband, I mean, he married an atheist, and so past life regression hypnosis and talking about past life, and he was like, wow. But very, very open-minded guy. I mean, he had to be, because he's an Egyptian Muslim and he married, you know, me in the first place. So I'm lucky to have him.
And so that energy of understanding how frequencies are very important, in the frequency of being angry at what was happening to your daughter, which is a very understandable reaction for a mom, and very understandable the power of a woman to step into being that fighter. But that aha moment of the deep breath of understanding, perhaps not at that moment that it was a different frequency, but the power of love and unconditional love.
Yes.
That aha moment, what do you say to people who say, oh, that love stuff is naive? What would you say to those that...
It is when you tune into the power of love, which we all do, you know, there is no debating the power that it has. It is the most overwhelming frequency. There is nothing like it. And it is invincible.
Yeah, it's quite fascinating. I was just given this memory back when I was in Australia, when I lived there. You and I talked about that a little bit in our prep for the interview. But I was sitting in a circle with a beautiful teacher named Joe Buchanan. And all of a sudden, I started bringing through this information from this higher being who was very spot on with what she feminine feeling energy. Mm-hmm. And she was saying how love is the only frequency. It is the most important frequency. It is the highest frequency. It is the most powerful weapon, if you need to think of it as that.
Yep.
Right. Exactly. And then she said her name was when they asked her name, she said the golden goddess. And I went, no, no. Can't it be Mabel or Emily? Right.
Alice.
something. And the golden goddess. I don't know if I'm ready to step into that yet. Right. And I just have to laugh now. But understanding, going back 30 years ago, something that at the time seemed way too simple, and yet coming back full circle to really getting it as you got it in your own way on your journey. And so how did you transpire or integrate that aha moment, that seed of wisdom, into what transpired from that moment, the changes in your 3D life and the eventual being the founder of Project Starseed? Can you take us through that journey a little bit?
I mean, I guess the first and foremost thing was to stop looking at our situation I had to stop wanting something different. Mm-hmm. And although it's okay to aspire and manifest, you know, other things, but to be in a state of want is to be in a state of lack. And so, so to just accept that she had a tumor and this is her life. And you know what? It's perfect as it is. To see perfection in the imperfection was the first thing. And then, of course, there was this dramatic, crazy energy awakening. And after I woke up, I began to do the energy healing training, because my hands, I mean, even now, like while I'm talking to you now, they start pouring energy. I had to do something about it. I had to do something about it. I got the energy healing qualifications, but there was still just something I could accept. Yes, I've had past lives and at least time as we know it doesn't really exist, but I have connections to other points in space and time, however you want to say it. But I had this strong cosmic connection that I wasn't really addressing. And I thought, you know what? We were working on our chakras as one of my courses for my qualifications. And I knew that my root chakra had issues, because I have never really felt at home here and I have never wanted to feel at home. And I thought, you know, I could probably just skip healing the root chakra, because I don't really care about it, because I don't really want to be here. So, and then I obviously, you know, realized that I shouldn't really, I should focus on healing that. And when I did start looking at my root chakra, this tribal sense of belonging and why don't I have this, and I sort of opened up a whole new can of worms then, which led me to the Starseed thing and the one afternoon again when this idea of Project Starseed kind of pinged into my head.
And tell us a little bit about that pinging.
So I've been part of a couple of cosmic Facebook groups for a while, and I didn't really feel like a strong resonance with a lot of what was, you know, being discussed there, because it was very disclosure focused, which I respect. But again, the energy of that wasn't in resonance with my own perception. So, but I felt I needed to stay there because there was something I needed to just click with it. And so it was the word starseed was so resonant with me. And I kept thinking about it. And it was literally one afternoon I was just making dinner and the words Project Starseed came into my head. And I thought, yes, because we can make 3D change here through uniting and through, you know, sharing numbers, because headcounts of things are important in the 3D. And that's all it's going to be. Yeah, I can just connect star seeds and we just have a number list. That's all that I need to do, because that's it. And then so I put together the project, but of course it took on a complete life of its own and is still continuing to evolve, you know, all the time.
And we're going to dive deeper into what Project Starseed is in a moment. But I do want to just revisit a comment that you made in the beginning when you talked about a realization as a child, this painful connection to the stars. And did there come a time, because I know many people, you know, when I was doing healing work in Australia, people say they don't want to be here, they don't belong here, they want to go home. And I've shared this before. To me, I was always a little bit confused by that, because to me, home is back in what I call the cosmic soup of anonymity. And I've kind of enjoyed my little visits to, you know, Andromeda and the Earth. And I have to admit, there is part of me that enjoys being that sense of awareness through this particular focus, right?
Yes.
At what point was there a time when you became aware that it was also important to apply that frequency of love to being a starseed on Earth and no longer looking at it as a painful connection?
Yes. And that's sort of been an ongoing journey for me as well. I don't have the homesickness anymore. Mm-hmm. And part of my healing process, I think, was in creating the project itself. And I hope that the project will help other starseeds fully incarnate and embody and become the human that we came here to be. That's the healing, because that's the healing of the root chakra and identifying with other humans and loving them and being in love with being a human. That's the healing moment.
Well, and it's beautiful because it ties into the guest Susie Hansen we had last week, who talked about soul aspects. I'm going to use that word. It wasn't her specific language. Yes. Choosing to incarnate, to be here on this planet at this time, to be part of the frequency field that assists in this communication. And I love how you talk about that as an integration with the star family. So perhaps going back a little bit, if we talk about starseed concept and what that means, although I'm sure most of our listeners will be familiar with that, and then we can segue into the star family integration. But if we start with the concept of starseed, how would you kind of describe that from your own awareness and then from those that are coming into the project starseed?
Yes. You can look at it in a few ways. I mean, you can look at it in a quite a linear way and say, well, before I came here on Earth, I was in another star system. That's what I remember. But that is pretty linear. And many of us are growing out of that now.
Exactly.
And it gets more complicated now. How do you explain it?
Yep.
I mean, I think Bashar really illustrates this very well when he says that when you have a past life, in inverted commas, connection, it is an energetic connection or tendril to another aspect of yourself in a different place in space and time. And so I guess you could explain it that way, that we are here embodied, but we have filaments of energy stretching out in different parts of infinity. And when you are a homesick starseed, you are tuning into another aspect of yourself in a different star system that is happening right now.
Well, that's truly understanding, and it does take a little while, right? For some of us, might get it right away, depending on what wave you're on, I guess. But that we are multidimensional beings, like the Russian stacking dolls, right? Our consciousness isn't here or there. It's all of it at the same time. Yes. And the realm that we may feel most closely aligned to, whether it's Pleiadian or Andromedan, perhaps one way to look at it, and again, as you have said in your writings, as I always say, those that are listening, trust your own discernment. Always take what resonates for you and leave the rest behind. Yeah. But if someone is tuning more into their Pleiadian aspect or their Andromedan aspect or their inner earth aspect, it is because perhaps those are the frequencies and concepts that will most support this earth mission. How do you relate to that, and how do your other projects, Starseed community, relate to that?
Well, I think I think what you said is perfect, because you tune into what you need actually for growth. So as a homesick starseed, I was tuning into other aspects of self that I needed. I needed that homesickness to actually give me a kick up the butt to set up Project Starseed and do this. And so now the homesickness is gone. So I can go on and do other things with the project, because I can tune into other aspects of self. I'd be keen to know if there are any Project Starseeds who Starseeders who are listening to this. I'd be keen on their input too, and keen to know how they see it.
There is a contact form on your website, correct, that they can fill that information out and kind of communicate with you. And then you also have, once people join Project Starseed, there's a private Facebook group. Could you want to talk a little bit about that, and then we'll dive deeper?
Yes. In the Facebook group, I think there must be about nearly 600 of us now. We have a few, you know, gentle guidelines, so it doesn't become like a long feed of memes. You know, I don't know. You're not on Facebook yet, but Facebook has a lot of memes sharing. It's very nice, because it's just a quiet place where we can just connect and share. And it's not super duper active, but I guess with the 600 people, you know, it's still quite a small group. And I'm on Stellar as well. But to be honest, on Stellar, I mean, I found it very quiet. And so I don't really go on there very much. I don't really connect with it very well, to be honest.
Well, it's interesting. You know, I'm just diving into the social media aspect. And I personally had kind of felt a long time a resistance to Facebook, and I'm very much a neophyte in all of this. I feel like I'm, you know, a toddler trying to find her way through, and I'm pretty technologically savvy. But OnStellar, for those that don't know, is actually if the intention is for it to be a more of a consciousness or metaphysical Facebook type meeting. And it's growing. I think the more of us that join in and are active with it, right? Like anything else, right? Like Project Starseed, the more people that become part of it, the more we actually mold what it is intended to be in the higher frequency. Yep. So we were talking about, you know, the multidimensionality of who we are, and that we have consciousness in many different realms. For some people, it's easier to think of it linearly as past lives or parallel lives. But this ties into something that you and I are, I think, are such on the same page with, is what the concept of ascension is. And it's not about a huge event or something coming down the magic wand from God, goddess hitting on the head, but it's that awakening to who we are, that awareness that we're multidimensional. And I think one of the things that we talked about is perhaps missing from the field of ufology is that divine, and I'm going to use the word divine feminine, doesn't mean there aren't men that carry the frequency, intention to move beyond the nuts and the bolts, the UFO sky watching, which is very important, and it opens up acceptability and awareness. But to truly, from your perspective, you want to talk about ascension and how that relates into the concept of Project Starseed?
Yes. Yeah. Like you, I intuitively feel and know ascension to be an organically evolving thing from within. And so the event for many of us has already occurred. It was an awakening. We're already there, baby. it is an internal thing, and a recognition that you are seeing the world through different eyes. And I mean, I don't know all the details and the ins and outs of, I mean, some people say fifth dimension. I tend to say fourth density, because we're going from a 3D mindset to a fourth density one, incorporating heart frequency as like the steering wheel into this level of being. But again, I don't think really words don't really matter. I would say that it is entering into a realm of being that is heart focused, with unconditional love being the main player.
And so when people talk to you about lower frequency beings, let's label the not so friendly grays or reptilians or whatever label you want to give to them, do you have guidance for those that become part of Project Starseed when it comes to those frequencies?
Yeah, definitely. I think part of the ascension into the, you know, the next level up is being able to recognize the darkness as a non-integrated aspect of self. So we very conveniently say, yeah, we're oneness. But then we say, well, that murderer is not me. I'm not that pedophile. But if we are oneness, this, we share heritage with everything. And so the longer we kind of run away from the darkness and see it as separate from ourselves, we can't integrate and ascend. So it is being able to recognize these, the darkness as the self, and giving it, sending it love. And many people would say, oh no, you know, I'm not going to send love to dark things because I want justice first. And when I have justice, then I can love. But then this is, it's not the way it works. You know, you can transform your reality through becoming the frequency of unconditional love. And then the darkness ceases to be what it was before.
Well, and I think that again ties back into the Golden Goddess 20 some years ago saying that love is the most powerful weapon. And the energy wasn't as we think of it as a weapon. But what I oftentimes tell people is these lower level energies, as the archonic collective that the governments are trying to pump down onto us, they feed on fear, divide and conquer, right? Not good enough. All of those lower base energies that the powers that were, that are trying to gain, continue to hold on to control, which they're losing control of, but that's their weapon, right? And I say, why give them any more ammunition with being in fear? So if you look at it from a frequency perspective and you understand that love, right, which has become Hallmark holidayed a little bit, right? But if you consider truly what absolute divine love is, that that frequency field is a field that lower level energy cannot exist in. And so having done healings on people where a reptilian showed up in the room, right? I said, oh, aren't you, you know, don't you think you're scary? And I blasted it with love and I called in Bacall the lion being and it was gone, right? And so for some that are on that path, those entities sometimes do show up. And it's gaining that confidence to be able to understand they want you to go into fear or anger. And when you don't, they're not fueled, right? And so some of us feel there is an opportunity to continue doing clearing, especially if we're out there, right? But as you said, when you hold the higher frequency, right? They really have nothing to latch onto. Am I summarizing it for you? And how would you like to expand upon that from your own personal experience?
Absolutely. When I was starting to do the energy healing qualifications, and we were being taught to bring to protect ourselves with white light, and I was like, but I am the white light. I am. Why do I need to protect myself? And so it was my knowingness that I am the frequency of unconditional love. That doesn't need white light to protect it. It is the protection in itself. There is no need for it.
It's the important embodying of that where you actually know it to the core of your being. And for some, that is an initiation to get to that knowingness within their being.
Absolutely. And in fact, when we do the little meditation a little bit later, it's so funny because I actually, in that meditation, I will go into getting into the frequency of unconditional love for the purpose of making contact, because that is the ultimate protection if one needs it.
so talk a little bit more specifically about Project Starseed and what your intention is and how people become part of it and what happens once they do.
Yes. So it was originally just supposed to be a headcount of people who identify as being cosmic beings. And so that in itself was a form of grassroots disclosure. So I was trying back then to appeal to those in the disclosure and truth of movement and say, look, hey, you know, we don't need to keep focusing every day on the disclosure that is going to come, because this leads to the Groundhog Day, the energetic Groundhog Day. Let's be the disclosure, and we can do this by proclaiming our cosmic heritage. So I did that, and then so Project Starseed now has grown. We have a few little things going on at the same time. So there is the headcount of Awakened Starseed that you, when you sign up onto the email list, which is really simple, it's a MailChimp email list, and that's my headcount of Awakened Starseeds. And then you join the Facebook group, you get, you know, the emails and things. And so one thing that we are working on collectively and slowly. It's not happening all at once. It's not dramatic and exciting. It's just an ongoing work in process. It's the Star Family Integration Project. So this is people who are excited by the idea of being here to help facilitate and bring forth the integration of Star Family members here on Earth during our lifetime. So that's one project that is like one of the projects Starseed. And then we have the Dreams Project, which we kind of launched recently, inviting Starseeds to actively group together and set forth an intention to contact Star Family members through dreams and then share those dreams with the group and over the course of time analyze and see what we are receiving as a group in our dreams.
Fantastic. And our after the show, we're going to go a little bit deeper into the Star Family Integration and that Dreams Project. Cool. In just a minute, we're going to take the 30-second break. And when we come back, before we go into your beautiful exercise and meditation, I'd like to talk a little bit about the subject of people who might be afraid of data collecting because of some nefarious. But first, we'll just take a quick 30-second break, and we'll be back with Naomi Cook from Project Starseed.
I'm Chief Joseph, and I'd like to talk with you about a product called Stop Itch. It's an all-natural product that stops itching and scratching instantly from all types of rashes, including eczema, psoriasis, dermatitis, poison oak, all bug bites, and it's safe for kids and babies of all ages. And for a limited time, it's half off at www.theskingod.com or 888-391-5432. Thank you.
So, Naomi, before the break, we were talking about how people can become involved in Project Starseed. And I did want to address something that I'm sure that comes up because you have a beautiful way of responding to it for people that are perhaps a little afraid or cautious about sharing their data. So how does that work and how do you address that subject when it comes to Project Starseed?
Well, I guess the first thing is, you know, if we're all on Facebook talking about these things anyway, there's no privacy. It's done. The deed is done. And secondly, yes, I have emails. So legally, I'm not allowed to share anybody's email with anybody, as far as I know, at least. I think it's illegal to do so. And so there is that side. And if like, you know, there's some dodgy government people who are getting into my, you know, MailChimp and having a little look, they can already access all the Facebook stuff anyway, if you're on Facebook. So, I mean, I would say, sure, it's possible that, you know, there could be some dodgy governmental agency looking into it. But to be honest, I mean, I think probably they have better things to do.
Well, you know, and the thing is, as they do tune into that, you know, some of these lower level energies will be activated with the light. That's what I say. Let's, you know, bring the light in and help to transmute and transform. And again, if we're standing in the light of who we are, yes, I know, you know, people and myself, we've gone through different initiations, but the truth is we always come out more aware, more awake, stronger, and more able to assist those that perhaps haven't gone through that part of their journey as well. And you talked about one of the things that's important to you is letting go of that light war fighting identity, especially as it relates to the disclosure movement. I laugh with your thing, we are the disclosure. You know, I've had booths in my previous life at sitting, you know, promoting the ranch, and people would come out of these talks talking about, we have to have disclosure, we have to have disclosure. I said, can you answer a question for me, because I'm curious. What will change in your life? When the government comes out fulfilling what your expectation is of disclosure, how will your life change? And they all usually just kind of look at me like, you know, as we would say in Australia, stun mullets, right? And they can't really come to that. And I said, you know, and are you going to trust that a government, no matter the country, which for the most part has lied to us or manipulated the truth for their own agenda, are you going to trust what they say is truth? So how would you, from your perspective, share your thoughts of letting go of this light war identity as it relates to the disclosure movement?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, this was when I started the blog site to Project Starseed, because I said, there is no way on earth I'm going to blog Project Starseed. It's no No, too busy. No. But the universe had other ideas. So I was actually writing at the time for some metaphysical and esoteric websites, okay, you know, little starseed pieces here and there. And there was this one piece that had, I've got to write this piece on letting go of the light warrior identity. So I wrote it and I loved it. No one would publish it. They disagreed with it. Wow. Oh my God. Yeah, there were some emails going back and forth with one editor, and he basically tried to convince me that I was completely wrong, which is fine, but I believed in what I was saying. And the other one, I actually just got stonewalled by. He actually refused to, he never emailed me back after I sent him the Light Warrior piece. Mm-hmm. So I thought, you know, it's time to provide my own platform to share these things. And so it was basically a learning that I had discovered with Hannah, that as I had been fighting to get her well, sure, I was winning battles, but the war was continuing because I was in a warrior state. And we are learning that to co-create and manifest something, we have to embody its frequency first. We become its frequency. And then when divine timing decides it is right for it to manifest, it manifests. But we can't create something unless we become its frequency first. So I was seeing with the Light Warrior, they're fighting for the light. They're just going to keep perpetuating a tomorrow of the same. They'll always keep seeing darkness.
Well, I had this debate with someone who's well known out there in this genre, and I said, what if instead we just held the love? And this individual said, yeah, well, you know, the reptilians will come and just, you know, smack you down. And I said, look, you know, we did this with an Anunnaki. We've done this with the Orion. We've done this in all these different realms. And the wars never worked, right? Yes. The battling never worked. And if I truly believe I'm an infinite being of light, then I'm really taking no risk by trying a different approach, because we've reset so many times, right? Yeah. And again, I think this is that divine feminine consciousness that is growing now, that sense of it is time to do things differently. Yes. And that also ties into, you know, you were talking in one of your blogs about Michael Sala's book, Galactic Diplomacy, and the two tracks of that type of relationship with off-worlders. And I love the way you summarize it. Do you mind taking just a few minutes to kind of go into that and share that with our listeners?
Yes, I was so fascinated. I mean, he's a brilliant man. His brain is amazing. And so I read his book, and so he very clearly outlines these particular tracks to achieving galactic diplomacy. And it's very mathematical and sort of rational, which is great. But from my perspective, I would approach the whole thing completely differently. Rather than saying for star family integration to occur, we need guidelines and rules in place. Because if we look at what it means to have a guideline and rule in place, they're in place for protection, because it means that we don't know what to do without the rules or guidelines. So we need to have them to help us interact as a form of protection. So therefore, there has to be some anchorage of this in fear-based consciousness. If you need a rule, why do you need the rule? You're scared things are going to go pear-shaped if the rules are not there. So I was thinking, well, can we just address this differently? And if we are as starseeds here who know we have star family out there, their family, we love them, and we can feel that love, do we really need guidelines in place telling us how to interact with our family?
Right. And it's such a, you know, simplistic and yet expansive concept. I love, you know, ever since I was a kid, when they would say that, well, that planet doesn't have any chance of viable life, right? Mm-hmm. And I would always look at my parents and say, but who says all life has to breathe oxygen and have water, right? Yes. And so when we move beyond that paradigm of thinking that all life or all types of nations, I'll use that word, it's limiting, but you know, the different star families are like us. They are in our potentiality, but they're so more open when you get into the true understanding of unity consciousness. And I love how you talk about one of the parameters for more extended contact is moving beyond our current realm of being non-unified species. Can you talk to that?
Yeah, that's right. Well, again, it was sort of sparked off by discussions in one of these little Facebook groups that I was in, and they were saying, well, who would be a good rep? You know,
who would be a good guy? Who are we going to give our power away to now?
We're not. how can we have a rep of the human species when we are not unified? This is not going to work. It's we need to be our own rep. So this needs to be an individual thing first. It all comes back to the self. And so, yeah, I that was where this concept of came from, of not seeking a rep for the whole of humanity, you know, a rep to the ET community. This just, no.
They're all the points of light. And as we all choose, if we choose to raise our frequency, remember who we are, stand in that field of unified light, that higher frequency collective becomes that unified signal, right?
Yes.
That is more prominent than the wounded collective or the collective that is mind controlled. And so that understanding, as you so beautifully share, it's not about being a diplomat, it's about opening up to your own star family and then being part of that light. And that is what truly brings in that star family integration.
Yes, totally. Yep, absolutely. And I think one of the articles I wrote was about the invite. Mm-hmm. And so, well, how do you invite the galactic community to actually start interacting with us on a level that is at least compatible to a certain extent with our frequency down here on planet Earth? Because we're having to actually talk about, you know, 3-4D frequencies here. Some of us here, we can see, you know, fifth density beings. But really, if we're talking about integrating with humanity, at the moment, humanity is still in a 3-4D a capacity to see things. So I was thinking, you know, what would the invitation be? How would we invite? And the answer was just, it's just totally simple. It is the energy of unconditional love. And that's the beacon. It's when we start remembering our love for our star family, it is a welcome beacon, you know, a sign of readiness. Because when you come from that frequency, as we were saying before, it is the protection. Nothing can go wrong. Even if we think things don't go as we think they should do, that's still perfect because it's coming from the frequency of unconditional love.
Absolutely. And one of the things that I oftentimes do in meditation with people is bring them to an understanding that the star family, quote unquote, out there, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, that mm-hmm. part of that is actually an aspect of me from that realm, right?
Yes.
So it's not just family as in relations or community, but also that I am there as I am here. And so to move into that understanding helps to take away some of that distance, right? That illusion of separation. And I think that beautiful dream project and the invitation of the star family contact during dream time is a beautiful way to segue into that meditation that you're going to gift the listeners with. Mm. So I don't know if you want to give a little preface to it, I'll just turn it over to you.
What I was thinking is that we could just take a couple of minutes for those who are listening who want to do this, to just go into a relaxed state, and I can talk them through going into this relaxed state, and then sending out the invite to other cosmic selves, star family members, and cosmic colleagues to interact with us in hypnagogic or dream states over the next few days, and set out the intention that we will remember these contacts. I can do that now if you like.
Beautiful.
Okay. So we'll just start by just take a deep breath, because I've been talking lots. So I'll take a couple of deep breaths and just set our intentions to quiet our minds and just find some stillness for a couple of minutes in this mini meditation. And when we do this, there's often a sudden increase in the noticeability of sounds around us, and pressure can change in the ear. There can be tingling sensations in the body as you feel your energy fields and auric fields expand. You can keep your eyes open or closed, depending on what you need to do. And as you go into this state, you can remember your energy centers. You have energy centers all over your body, but you might feel the large ones more acutely, your chakras down the front of your body. You may begin to feel these in motion or flowing as you detach a little from this 3D world around you. So now what we're going to do is get into the frequency of unconditional love, the energy that comes from our heart center. And it's very easy to do this because we do it all the time and it is our natural state of being. So just to remember that, think about something that you love. It can be a person or an animal, a place, maybe being somewhere like in nature, beautiful scene, piece of music. And it's instant because as soon as you remember that thing, your frequency has already changed. All you need to do is recognize that and just embrace it. It's already happened. And then knowing that you were in that state of frequency, now remember a time when you felt so full of love that your heart could just burst with that feeling of love and allow that frequency and that memory to explode out of your heart chakra right now. This shift into the frequency of unconditional love is palpable, and we all know what it feels like. So once you've felt this shift, once you've recognized it, you're in a fantastic place to start open-hearted communication with our positively orientated cosmic colleagues, star family, and other cosmic selves who resonate with and see and feel this beacon of love that is now emanating out of your heart chakra. This is the invite for them to communicate. So in your own words, you can connect with star family members or cosmic colleagues, anyone that you are liaising with and working with here in this physical embodiment that you don't always remember. So you can say hi to them in your own way. You may have noticed that they were there before you even said hi, that when you turned to say hi, you knew that they'd already been there waiting for you to say hi. Allow this resonance of their response to come back to you. It's probably already happened. You may not hear the words hi. You may feel a whoosh, a wave of energy, a change in pressure in your ears. You may start feeling energy flowing out of your third eye or your hands or feet, or maybe your heart rate's picked up. Whatever response you hear in whatever shape or form is true for you. So now using words or feelings or tones or gestures, however you communicate best, ask these beings to connect with you and to communicate with you in sleep or hypnagogic states, the state just before you fall asleep, over the next few days. And you might also want to ask for help in being able to remember this communication. We have no expectations how the communications will look or feel like, just that we will be able to recognize them as a communication or interaction that will be meaningful to us in some shape or form, even if it isn't immediately recognizable to us as being meaningful. So before we finish, there's one thing that we can do, and that is to embody and become the frequency of having nightly communication that we remember with our star family members. So right now, you've made the invite, you said hello, you've made the invite and asked for communication. What we can do now is go into an imaginative state and see yourself going about your daily business and daily life in the state of having daily and nightly contact with star family members and being able to remember it. This is becoming the frequency of that which we want to achieve. So just take a few seconds just to see yourself doing things and being this person who is having dream contact with star family members. Think about what feelings, what emotions do you get when you see this person who is you? And recognize the change in frequency around you, your energy fields. How do they feel? Nice. Okay, now take some deep breaths. And come back to the beautiful 3D world around you. And let me know how that goes if you do decide to do this.
That was stunning, Naomi. The tingling on my crown chakra. I think the grin was beyond my ear to ear, right? Mm-hmm. And just the beautiful tears of that joy of that reconnection is so powerful and such a beautiful gift to those that have listened in. And so I thank you for that. And as Naomi said, let go of expectation and allow it to unfold, during your dream time, and that beauty, that power of walking it in your daytime as being one who has had that contact is a very powerful way to help create the neural pathways that open us into that connection.
Exactly. That's great, actually, because I really like the fact that you've referenced the biology and physical aspects of shifting into a new paradigm, because that's part of it too. So, great.
Well, absolutely. I think you and I both understand that the neural pathways in our brain create what we experience or open the doorways to what we experience. And so what I oftentimes tell people is if they say, well, I don't have contact. I say, well, how about if you, some people, like for me personally, I would say, I have contact or I am having contact. And my mental body would go, no, you're not. Mm-hmm. And so I began tricking my mental body, if you will, and say, my Star family contact is increasing more and more every day, right? And that is a beautiful bridging tool for those that have tried affirmations that don't seem to resonate, right? Yes. Into creating that bridge that allows that mental body to bring in or to let more of that information. And of course, jotting down even the smallest experiences or just gratitude for it happening helps to create that field as well.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's very beautiful, a very beautiful gift. And with your permission, anyone who signs up to win, we're doing the drawing for Naomi's book, How She Healed Me, which talks about Hannah's journey, the family's journey, but also Naomi's awakening. So that will be on the goldengoddesses.org website. If you're okay with it, I'm going to give them an excerpt of this meditation. Is that okay? Mm-hmm. To Brilliant. Anyone who signs up so that they have that opportunity. And then please honor Naomi's work by giving her feedback to how you've experienced that awakening in utilizing that meditation. Are you comfortable with that?
Cool. Brilliant. Yeah, sounds awesome.
So there's more that I want to go to in the after the show, because I think there is so much information that you have that's practical as well as expansive. But one of the things I do want to mention is we are going to do the sweepstakes, like I said, for Naomi's book, How She Healed Me. You can go to goldengoddesses.org and we'll name the winner on the next show, August 30th. Also, Naomi and I are going to be working on collaborating on a webinar that will be happening in October. And I'm saying that and putting it out there into the field. As you know, Naomi, that helps with bringing things into the energy. We have about 4 more minutes left. Mm. We will go into more in the after the show, which will be posted on the YouTube channel. But what would you like to summarize with for this radio show? Key points, and then could you please also talk a little bit about your children's books and your websites? And a lot of that is on Project Starseed. So what would you like to share? Yeah. I'm going to give you the floor, if you will, so that can make sure
I'm really open on Project Starseed. I make it quite clear, actually, who I am, which comes back to your question earlier about the sort of the safety of signing up with Project Starseed. People can know who I am and very easy to spy upon. My Facebook profile is mainly set to public, and I've got multiple websites up on the net. And I write children's books too. They are health-themed, empowering, non-didactic, picture books for kids, kind of inspiring them to harness their own health and well-being. And I've got another children's book coming out later this year. It's a new series called Alien in My Lunchbox.
Oh, beautiful. I know. I see the children's show already. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's it. But otherwise, Project Starseed has the link to all of my multiple websites. So if people want to check me out, then they can have a little look. Make sure that I'm, okay.
Okay, that you are the light that you are. And again, there is no right nor wrong. It is important, I feel, for each and every listener to trust what resonates for them. And if this doesn't resonate, we all send you with love and light, and we honor your own unique path and what you have the opportunity to bring in. If there was one piece of information, Naomi, you could give the you before you woke up, what would that be looking in retrospect? And I know there's no regrets because everything happens in divine timing, but as a piece of guidance for others who are looking at stepping into to their mission or their path.
You know what? That's so hard, isn't it? Because everything is perfect and everything is needed to get you to where you are. So it's really hard to say that. The key to everything is love and remembering the power of love and how it can just radically transform your life in all shapes and forms on every dimension. When you can tap into that part of yourself, that's it.
It all unfolds, and that loving self is also loving where you are in this now moment and trusting the universe and trusting that there are no wrong steps, each step unfolds the next path. It's not about in knowing it all right now. It's about knowing what you're meant to know to get you to the next part of the journey, right? Yeah. And I think that's really powerful. So in our after the show, we're going to go deeper into the Star Family integration and the Dreams Projects from Project Starseed. I'd also like to go into more about your concept of the morphic resonance. You talk about Rupert Sheldrake, and we've got more to do. But I want to thank you, Naomi, and listeners. Please take a look at the goldengoddesses.org. There's a link to the YouTube channel. And for now, we're going to say goodnight. Remember to enter to to win Naomi's book. Naomi, many thanks for all you are and all that you do.
Thank you.
Good night, listeners. And enjoy your dream time. We look forward to hearing your journeys. Much love, everyone. Good night.